apply.
So even though oil is leaking all over the Gulf of Mexico, possibly ready to slam into Florida, you know, 6 in 10 of us, according to an NBC Wall Street Journal poll, say, hey, bring it here. Drill, baby, drill. We're in favor of offshore drilling. Count me among those. Hey, I like seeing what we're seeing, but I got to say, we don't have an alternative to this at this point. But speaking of alternatives, coming up on our next show, we're going to talk to one of the guys, maybe two of the guys, from a company called Green Automotive. And they're doing an electric car from China, but they're weaving it in to help Americans who are out of work. And I had a chance to ride in that car, and it's got to say it's pretty cool. This is something that should have happened a long time ago. In fact, it did. If you go and look up the documentary, GM Killed the Electric Car, you'll know that perhaps by now we would have had a lot of electric cars that would have been affordable running on the streets of America, but it did not happen. Now it is happening in a big way, and the more we pay at the pumps, the more people cry for alternatives, and we still need oil, and we don't need to depend on somebody else. So you got to look for those holes that are rich with oil. You just have to make the regulations tighter, clamp down on the companies, do whatever they can to make them as safe as they can. The platforms, nothing is 100%, but there were things that happened with bad wiring and some other things that failed to trigger a shut-off device that could have made a difference. And that's a simple check, checking the equipment, especially something that vital. But, you know, you get lulled into security who's ever working around the equipment that, this shortcut, we'll just do this. It's not going to, nothing happens, right? But it did happen. Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on America Tonight. And coming up, we're going to talk to a law professor from Baylor University about the Kagan appointment and whether or not President Obama's nominee becomes the next Supreme Court justice. And what does it mean for the makeup of the court, the religious aspect of the court, their own personal beliefs? There'll be no Protestants, none, for the first time. And it's interesting stuff, so you'll want to hear that, and that's coming up in another 10 minutes or so here on ATN. So I start off with this NBC Wall Street Journal poll saying that, you know, we really, despite everything that's happening and we're worried about the environment and the risk and whatnot, the economic benefits outweigh what's happening to the wildlife. And or what could happen to the wildlife. See, when somebody tells you it's not about the money, it is always about the money. Always. And if we do not have enough of the stuff called oil, then you will end up with rationing. You would end up paying much more anyway. And so who makes the money and who gets richer? The oil companies, and no matter how you slice this, right? So, unfortunately, it could have been prevented, the BP disaster. It wasn't. They need to get tougher, come up with the regs, slap them on the books, and move forward, for goodness sake. Just do it, like Nike says. Just do it. Other things worth mentioning here in our very first segment include this other thing called immigration, not the legal kind, but the illegal kind. You want to talk about something that divides the crowd, depending on where you live. Bring up the situation in Arizona, and it's a mixed bag, to say the least. So the Arizona legislature now has the most stringent immigration enforcement bill in the country, law, you know? And police can check driver's licenses and other documents. They can root out illegal immigrants. It's already something that's actually a law anyway. New Mexico allows illegal residents to get driver's licenses as a public safety measure, which, go figure that. You're in the country illegally, hola, que tal, come on in. You need food, you need shelter, you need health care. We got it all for you. And then you wonder why people get so revved up about it. So now the governor of Arizona is the enemy. And that's how she's being portrayed for actually signing the immigration law into, you know, making this bill into a law. While Governor Bill Richardson, neighboring state, New Mexico, is saying that it's a better thing to do in weaving illegal immigrants into part of our culture, our society, and protect the values of our Hispanic and multi-ethnic communities. So here's the deal. Did anybody say we didn't want to celebrate, you know, Cinco de Mayo or St. Patrick's Day or any of the Italian days on the books? I mean, we are a nation of immigrants. Hello, we are. But there is a difference between killing yourself to go through Ellis Island or to get here legally versus crawling across the border from a third world country. And I think we should embrace the Hispanic culture. And when you say Hispanic culture, there's a difference. There's Cuban backgrounds and Puerto Rican backgrounds and Spanish backgrounds and Guatemalan backgrounds. You know, just, and they're all different, just like I mentioned before, from Europe, whatever, whether it's Irish or English or French or any of that kind of stuff. So this immigration debate has taken on a crazy twist. And I think you gotta tip your cap to the people who are taking big risks, because they're getting a lot of death threats. Whether it's Sheriff Joe, but he's used to that. And he says this new immigration bill is just the same old anyway. Or the governor of Arizona. Every day a different group comes out, makes a big public statement, because they're going to get publicity. Whether it's the mayor of Los Angeles or some other group, the ACLU, Al Sharpton, whoever, because Sharpton likes to get his TV time, and this is tailor-made for Sharpton as a civil rights issue. So, it's very strange. I like what State Rep John Kavanaugh from Arizona was widely quoted as saying, because he's a big supporter of this new law, giving police broader powers to check the status of the people they stop and suspect are in the country illegally. He said, if a burglar breaks into your home, do you serve him dinner? That's pretty much what they do here with illegals. And the reason there's been so much blowback in Arizona is because you've got almost 500,000 people that are in Arizona illegally. And it's chasing other people out of the state, out of Tucson, out of Phoenix, out of Sedona even, other places, because they're sick and tired of carrying the freight for other people. You know, it's like your whole life you've paid taxes, but yet you line up on the other side and say, okay, we're just going to forgive this. So forget what you had to do for all those years. You probably just shouldn't have, you know, you should have kind of alternated or figured out a way where you could pay less, because, hey, we're going to give this other person just pretty much a free ride. That's the problem. It's the free ride. I think that's the thing that really tweaks people. Coming up next, we're talking about Elena Kagan. Hang with us.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
Are you tired of out-of-control, irresponsible federal deficit spending? Increasing the money supply without increasing productive output leads to inflation. You get less for your money. If you want to protect the buying power of dollars for your future, then call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. You've worked hard for your dollars. Don't let the government strip their buying power with wasteful spending. Gold has a 5,000-year track record as money, real money you can count on. No government-backed paper currency comes close. Ask me about the protection of private gold. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. Central banks from around the world are stockpiling gold. They know gold is real money. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135, to discover the advantages of private protected gold.
Are you considering taking herbal supplements instead of overpriced and potentially dangerous pharmaceutical drugs, but just not sure where to start? Are you confused by the thousands of products and brands? What if you could find what you're looking for in herbal supplements from one source without the guesswork? You can at researchedherbs.com. Products at researchedherbs.com are backed by over 1,100 clinical trials, endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. And our products are manufactured by a family-owned company that's been around for 80 years and makes 20 billion herbal pills every year. All that means trust, safety, and assurance for you. The journey to better health begins and ends at researchedherbs.com. Call us toll-free at 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486. Researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
For my public career, there's nothing more exciting than what we're about to undertake to have a new member of the Supreme Court. It seems that at the time that I spent most of my life in a courtroom, and for your moving to this position across the street is so meaningful to everybody. Everybody, no matter where they are in America, whether it's Nevada or New York, whether it's a Democrat or Republican or an independent, the great country that we're in is ruled by law. And that's what you're going to make sure continues. We're very grateful that you've agreed to accept this assignment from the president. And I look forward to working to make this transition from your present job to the next job as smooth as possible. Thanks, everybody.
Senator Harry Reid, earlier in the day on the Hill, with a brief little introduction, it's tradition of Elena Kagan. Of course, the nominee doesn't say anything, but Reid heaps a lot of praise on Kagan. And as you know, this actually happened last week, Obama making the big announcement. There was a lot of speculation over Kagan, finally, as the list was narrowed. There's a couple of interesting things to talk about when you talk about the next Supreme Court justice, and we're going to do it now here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So you look at Kagan, as I said before, not a judge. That would be the first time in 40 years that we haven't had somebody that's had the judicial background of being a judge. But here's what's also going to be lacking if she is ultimately confirmed as the next justice for the court. It means when you look at religious diversity, there won't be anyone. There won't be religious diversity because you won't have any Protestant justice, and that will be for the first time in the history of the court. I don't know if a lot of people are talking about that, but I think it's pretty significant. So we are very happy to welcome to the show Baylor Law School professor Mark Osler. Hey, Mark, thanks for popping on with us. We appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure, Kate.
Let's talk about, well, first of all, that's, are any bells going off in anybody's head? I think that's a pretty big deal when you talk about what people bring to the position. I mean, even Sonia Sotomayor said this, that, hey, you know, you still have your background when they were going through the confirmation hearings for her, where they were talking about, well, you know, what about your background? Will any of that play into this? And remember, that made a lot of controversial headlines when she said, well, of course, I'm a human being. And so your religious makeup is part of you as a human, as a person. I would think that this could make some significant changes, perhaps, in that makeup, right?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think for this confirmation hearing with Elena Kagan, we probably won't see it come up too much, and that's because there is a fear by both parties, really, to talk very openly about faith issues and how it impact the work on the court. I do think, however, that once I think that Elena Kagan probably will be confirmed. I think once that happens, and once we do have an all-Catholic and Jewish court, that this debate will become more pointed about, okay, for 180 years we only had Protestants, and now we have none. Is there a problem with that?
Yeah, and why do you think religious diversity is so important on the court?
Well, you know, when we talk about the other factors that go to diversity, gender and race, it's because those things play into the way that a person views the world. And we accept that, and we need to have those perspectives on the court. And that's one reason that has changed, that we now have, African-American on the court, that we want to have women on the court. But it's a mistake to say that faith doesn't play the same role. Of course faith plays a role in forming who we are, and especially in moral formation, deciding what's right and wrong and what's important. And for that reason, of course, faith is something that needs to be considered, and we need to have a broad representation on the court. You know, and we're at an extreme point right now. We're looking at having no representatives of the group that makes up the majority of Americans.
Yeah, and Mark, when you look at this too, you think of the issues that do have a religious taint to it, I'll call it. Like the abortion issue is always big, and Roe v. Wade, we know that constantly there's always that possibility. And that could make a big difference when you look, as you said, the makeup of the court being Catholic and Jewish, right?
Yeah, and although, you know, of course, the individual justice's view doesn't always correlate to their views on some of these issues. But in a more general way, you know, it is going to impact what they think is important, for example. And in a rough way, I think it, you know, it does correlate to their views on some of these more hot-button issues.
All right, you're a law professor guy. You do this for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, when you, if Kagan, as you said, you think she does get in, and I think so too, it doesn't really, from another perspective, it doesn't really change the, if you looked at the balance where you look at, and you look at decisions and where Justice Stevens was, do you think, just on the surface anyway, pretty much she sort of steps into his role, right?
She's probably more moderate than Stevens. I know that you know, some people aren't expecting that, but I think, you know, you're always guessing. Of course, you know, Stevens was named by President Ford, a Republican, so he defied expectations. But I think in many ways she'll be stepping into the Stevens role. One thing that a lot of people who know her best say is that in issues like terrorism and the control of terrorism, she probably would be for a stronger presidency and broader authority for the government than Justice Stevens was.
Oh yeah, and we know that's a hot button issue. We see what happens. You know, I mentioned this when I first jumped on the air tonight about how people felt about Times Square and what we've seen recently happen. And we know that there are going to be a lot of futuristic, I think, decisions that will come the court's way. When we think of the possibilities and what will hit the Supreme Court in the future, besides terrorism, because we know there'll be things related to that, what else do you think will be pretty big in the upcoming years?
Well, I think that we're going to continue to see debate over some of these, hot-button social issues. I don't think that we've seen the end of the abortion cases coming before the court. There's, in my own field, I'm do criminal law, there's a lot that has yet to be resolved in terms of, you know, federal power and controlling crime and things like that. And beyond that, you know, when you look at the court's docket as a whole, a lot of it is not hot button issues. It's resolving what seemed to many people to be fairly minor points of law, and they spend a lot of time on that. But on the big ticket items, the one that everyone notices, the truth is it's fairly hard to predict because it's going to be situational. I mean, now we're talking about terrorism. That's because we're living in the wake of 9/11. We're talking about a Supreme Court justice here who very likely could serve for 35 years, and it's hard to predict, you know, what's going to come up during that time.
Yeah. Somebody, a caller the other night brought up something kind of funny, not funny, but kind of interesting, and said, yeah, I'm tired of this when we see who the presidents are picking for these judges. Why don't they make it so that the judges are elected instead of appointed by the president? And I said, well, we'd really be ripping up history there, and this is one of our three main branches of government, but you probably have other thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I actually, living in Texas, I've got a pretty good idea of what it looks like to have an elected judiciary, because here in Texas, at every level, at the trial court level, at the level of the Court of Appeals, and at the Supreme Court level, you've got elected judges, and it does play out differently. For example, in criminal law, in a place like Texas, if you're going to be elected, we have two Supreme Courts, one for criminal law and one for civil law. Turns out, if you're going to be elected to the criminal law Supreme Court, you have to be tough on crime, and that means that we have a very uniform, you know, Supreme Court for those issues, and that, you know, that creates its own problems. I think most legal scholars would say there's a real benefit to having a different system for picking the Supreme Court that's independent of elections.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with them there too. Absolutely, we're talking about our highest court in the land, no doubt. Do you think that this is, she gets, I call it getting drilled on the Hill. I mean, it is, you know, that's what it is, the big scrutiny. Do you think they'll be pretty tough on her like they have been in the past with the last couple we've seen?
Absolutely. And I think one reason that they're going to be tough on her is that she wrote an article saying that they should be tough on nominees. And it's kind of funny because she didn't write many academic articles, I think only four or five, which is unusual for someone who did so well in the academy. But one of those articles was saying that in the nomination process, there should be tough, pointed questions, and some of them should be about specific issues. And I certainly think that at least the Republicans in the Senate are going to take her instructions to heart.
Yeah, I think so, too. It'll be fun to watch. To me, it's fascinating to watch the process, and I'm sure you're a legal guy, so you know what I'm talking about. It was interesting having you on. We'd love to have you back on again and talk about some of the criminal stuff that we deal with. Mark Osler, of course, Baylor Law School professor. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kate.
All right, as Mark said, he was talking about the fact that Kagan is more moderate, and there are a lot of very liberal people who are not happy with the Obama choice, to say the least. We'll talk about that later in the show. Coming up next, though, we've got Odds and Ends.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, The time to act is now. At hempusa.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Times are tough and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at doobleshoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. She'll unheath you, her best touch just to please you. She's precocious, and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got credit card and a stash.
So here on America Tonight, hey everybody, Kate Delaney swinging and hanging out and trying to just catch out in the outfield for the Phillies. No kidding. Trying to run on the field for the Phillies. If you go to americatonight.net, click on Blunder and go through a bunch of them, and you'll see the Philly idiot that ran onto the field and was tasered by the cops, the kid. And they're still talking about that in Philadelphia, whether or not the guard should have used the taser. He was so close to him, all he needed to do was just leap, and he would have knocked him down. But what a fool. That city couldn't get another black eye. They just can't endure it with when it comes to sports and what the fools in the crowd constantly do to destroy the image there. It wasn't too long ago where they started calling Philadelphia the city of brotherly shove. Ooh, terrible. And let's give you some good news. How about a daily salute? This is a feature we used to do every single show, and I think we're going to bring it back. But the daily salute is this one. And wouldn't you love to be the person who rescued this kid? A 10-year-old boy is in the hospital. His head is bandaged. His skin is a little bit pale. His legs are completely shattered. But he is so incredibly lucky to be alive. Do you know he is the lone survivor of a plane crash that killed 103 people in the Libyan capital? Most of the people were Dutch tourists coming back from South Africa. And they don't know too much, and they'll find out, but they don't know too much about the boy. He had the fractures and underwent the surgery at a hospital in Tripoli, and he's out of danger. So the Dutch foreign minister said the boy told a Libyan doctor, Holland, when asked where he came from, but his nationality has not been confirmed. Now, this Libyan jetliner crashed just minutes before landing, so sad, after a seven-hour flight from Johannesburg. And there was, I saw pictures of the crash, and let me tell you, you could barely recognize what it was. It was an Airbus flight. So here we go again with these Airbuses. When we've talked to DJ Frost, the international pilot, just a week or so ago, we were talking about something different. I think we were talking about terrorism and this new thing with the tarmac and how long you can be on the tarmac. But he's talked to us before about the problems with Airbuses, and this, once again, is the same thing. So the plane's two black boxes were turned over to analysts. At this point, they're investigating the crash. They ruled out a terrorist attack. The weather conditions were good. And you've got this volcanic ash cloud that's disrupted the airflow over traffic, but I don't think that's had an effect on that airliner because it's about 2,000 miles away in Libya. But I say the Daily Salute is a terrible, tragic story. But what a miracle that this kid lives. Yeah. And it's very strange. I mean, there is something to this. Do you know that there have been about five or so cases this decade of a survivor in a commercial plane crash? That is wild. And it was last summer that we were talking about the 12-year-old girl that was found clinging to wreckage 13 hours after a plane went down in the water of the Comoros Islands. So this lone survivor thing, apparently sometimes kids survive because they're just small. And it's because of their size. They're kind of protected a little bit more during impact. And, you know, it's weird. You look at these commercial crashes, and they're so infrequent when you think of the amount of planes that are in the air. There is no way to for sure say, because how do you have a study on it? That's the reason why, with kids having some sort of an advantage. But the small thing is not so far-fetched, although what if they're not strapped in? That's the other part of it. Have to be strapped in, obviously. And boy, the Dutch have endured some terrible air tragedies over the year. Oof, hate that whole plane crash thing. But that is, like I said, there is a silver lining to that, because there's something about this kid surviving. And who knows what he'll go on to become or to do. Let me give you some quick odds and ends here, and we're going to end this hour with Harry Rinker. He comes on twice a month to America Tonight. It's a great opportunity for many of you, and it's to call into the show or shoot an email to his mailbag, because, I mean, this guy's knowledge on collectibles, whether it's just pure antiques or guns or stamps or whatever, is mind-numbing, to say the least. He's got like 7 books out, maybe even more than that, one on toys that's in the Smithsonian. But just make a date that if you've got something you're curious about, send it to his mailbag, send him a note with the pictures, or call us when he is on with us, which is it's the second or fourth Wednesdays of the month in the second hour. In the second hour. How about that? Hey, if you're looking for a job, somebody sent me a note about this, and then I saw it on one of the cable shows, Fox or CNN or whatever. But UPS is looking for a few good men and women, but they've got openings. How about that? They have openings, and I guess they're looking for a lot of people. They say they need to train about 14,000 new drivers. 14,000. Here's the thing, though. I think it's pretty tough. They drill you. Somebody was telling me this. They really drill you. And you have to, every trainee, basically, they have to make a stop. They have to stop properly, right, so they're not still rolling, jump out, and in 15 seconds, they have to turn off the engine, pull the emergency brake, remove the keys from the ignition, unlock the bulkhead door, slide the door open again, remove a small package, close the door, grab the handheld commuter called a dyad, exit the truck so not to stress your knees and legs, and that's a big deal, and hot foot it up to the door. How many people fail that? I don't know. Donovan, do you think you could do that in 15.5 seconds?
I'm not as young as I used to be.
I'm going to say no.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I could do it either. But here's what's wild, people's listening. Do you know that the average driver makes about $70,000 a year? $70,000. So that's not a bad living. But that test, and I wonder if they do periodic tests. And I'm thinking about this. The UPS guy delivers a lot to my place, and he is so quick. I bet you he's somewhere in that 16-second range or whatever, because he gets out of that truck, and he is, I mean, it's like he's like the Flash. He's at the door so fast, I've done nothing. I'm basically stumbling to the door, and I'm always impressed by that. So now I guess I know why, because to get to that position, it's almost like an Olympics competition, right? He had to be able to be pretty quick on his feet. But they earn every penny of that $70,000. They must be exhausted because I believe they load their own trucks, and then obviously they're unloading it too. All right, this is a stupid accident, and when this happens, then people start to complain about guns, and especially with kids, and there is really no place for this, but a gun went off inside the desk of a third grader. You know where this happened? In Charlotte, North Carolina. Ugh. And that, like I said, that just raises the red flag. See, this is what happens with guns, and how did he get a gun? What happened is, they don't know how it went off. The bullet missed, thank goodness, all 20 kids in the class just hit a wall. Parents ran to the school because they didn't know the situation. It's like a telephone game. People start to call, and who knows what was reported to the parents. But it was a .22 caliber handgun, small enough that would, fit in your hand, right? So they're investigating the boy's father, who came to the school in the afternoon to try to figure out, well, how did he get this gun? So it's obviously going to be traced to some adult, especially at that age. But boy, when things like this happen, that's when you start to get that rallying cry, forget the guns, get the guns off the street. I don't have a gun. I mean, I don't own a gun, but my deal, if you own a gun, you have to know how to clean it, take care of it, lock it up, keep it away from people, little people especially. And go and practice, go to the target range, go to the shooting range and practice and know how to use it. Cause if you are going to own a gun and you're trying to protect your property and we go with the Second Amendment rights, then you got to be prepared to do what you have to do. And the more trained you are with the firearm, more comfortable, the better. That's my deal. Taking guns away from people, taking all the whole gun right thing would do nothing other than make an entire underground subversive network very, very wealthy. And trust me, the bad guys will get the guns. Ugh, they will get the guns. And then, we'll be sorry that we went that route. I don't think it happens in the near future anyway. Always remember, you can send me your thoughts at americatonight.net. And plus, don't forget, we've got Harry Rinker coming up next to talk about collectibles. But on our next show, we have the trifecta challenge, the cheap movie reviews, the one-liners, a whole bunch of fun stuff, and then all the serious politics mixed in between. Water cooler buzz. Hang for Harry.
Global, environmental, energy, technology. It sounds scary, doesn't it?
Well, it could be if you're a Bilderberger.
Nope, not New World Order.
Because this amazing invention is really all about making clean energy very affordable for everyone. We call it GEET. Now, thanks to a worldwide grassroots intervention, the suppression of GEET is over and its inventor is free again to share it with you. Paul Pantone, inventor of the GEET fuel processor, only has a few openings remaining for the U.S. GEET dealership training program. You can be personally trained by Paul to become a GEET dealer from May 17th through the 21st or from June 21st through the 25th. For details, go to GEETInternational.com or send an email to paul@GEET.nl. Do it now, because when Paul has his 100 dealers, the U.S. school will close. Go to GEETInternational.com or email paul@GEET.nl.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America tonight with one of my favorite people, the guru of all things collectible, Harry Rinker. And I'm telling you, it's your chance to get a crack at the master. He can tell you what your stuff is worth. Call us at 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Or you can email me at americatonight.net. Harry, how have you been?
Hey, not bad, not bad. We're doing really well right now. It's the outdoor season here in the Northeast. The end of April, we saw Rangers, and let's see here. The first weekend at Brimfield is over now. So we're back in full swing on the outdoor circuit.
What are the, for somebody who goes, I mean, I know this is such a broad question, but are there things to look for when you go to, let's say when you go to garage sales, are there things you should look for? I mean, everybody, now because of the antique roadshow, everybody's always trying to find a hidden Picasso. I mean, that's crazy. But what should you look for at a garage sale?
Well, I think the thing that you should look for at the garage sale is something that's not contemporary. You know, garage sales are really, and I work really hard with people about this, but I tell people that garage sales literally are nothing more than recycling centers for usable goods. In other words, you have something You're not using it. It's still usable. And somebody else will, and you're willing to sell it for 5 and 10 cents on the dollar that it costs new. So if it costs a dollar, you get a dime. If it costs 10 bucks, you get a buck. You put that out at garage sales. Unfortunately, what a lot of people do is they put out stuff that is 50, 60, 70 years old, things that belong to parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. Now, you have to be a little careful with that today, because just because something is old doesn't mean it necessarily has value. If the kids don't want it, nobody cares. But I think the thing is that, especially for younger buyers, stuff from the 60s and 70s is hot stuff right now. And, you know, if you see something out there and something you'd like to live with and something that seems to be fairly priced, why, it's a good place to go. A lot of stuff is still coming out in garage sales and yard sales and that type of thing. I'm surprised, but, you know, people seem to think that that's a better option than auction. Well, sometimes it is. But, again, the antiques collectibles ought to be sold in a at least in a flea market environment, if not at, in an auction or more upscale environment. In fact, Kate, that brings us around. We have a letter in the mailbag tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, well, you tell people that they should email me, and we'll tell them how to do it in a second. But we got an email from one of your regular listeners at WVLK in Lexington, Kentucky. And she was out of the Goodwill store, and she saw a coffee table in the Chippendale style. And it was $20. And apparently someone had just donated a whole house full of furniture to Goodwill. And this coffee table is quite quite good size, 3 feet by 18 inches by 16 and a half inches tall. And it seems to be fairly well made. Now, she sent me a whole series of JPEGs of this table, and it certainly is a more upscale table. Now, it's not that, I mean, not that old. I mean, what do you mean not that old? It's probably from the 50s or 60s. And the problem is, if it's from the 50s, it's 60 years old. You know, you've got to keep remembering as we get to 2010 and now, you know, 2011, 2012, that, you know, 50 years ago was 1960, so something from the 50s is now got some age to it. This is a great example of what I call a reusable piece. Its value isn't antique or collectible. It's a piece that's meant to be used. It seems in pretty good shape. She paid $20 for it. She wants to know whether or not she could sell it for more than that. She might be able to sell it for $30 to $35, maybe $45. But that's the best of it. What's the best way to sell it? Well, she sent me these JPEGs on Craigslist, and Craigslist is a great way to sell this type of furniture. The difficulty with this is the following. Although it is a good common household style, Chippendale style coffee table, and if you went out to buy a new one, you're going to pay several hundred dollars for one. The truth of the matter is that today's young people are more into more modernistic furniture, not into the old colonial revival styles like Chippendale, Hippolyte, Sheridan, Queen Anne. So you've got to find the right kind of party for this. Now, she is down south, and this is a good style for the south. But if she thinks she's going to get $100 to $150 for it, that's not going to happen. She might be able to double her money, but she's going to have to work a little bit on it, and Craigslist is a good place to be. Now, we love the mailbag because it gives our American Night listeners a chance to email me a question with some pictures attached to it, and that way I can do some homework before we come here on the air. And let me just tell you how to go about doing this. Just send me an email to my email address, Harry Elringer, H-A-R-R-Y-L-R-I-N-K-E-R, Harry Elringer at AOL.com, Harry Elringer at AOL.com. Please start your email, however. I listen to you on America Tonight and give us the call letters and the name of your favorite radio station. I also get letters for the mailbag for my radio show, What You Got, which is on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 Eastern here on Genesis. And so I want to make sure I get those America Tonight mailbag letters over in the America Tonight mailbag. So that's Harry Elringer, H-A-R-R-Y-L-R-I-N-K-E-R at AOL.com. Of course, you can give us a call now, right, Kate?
That's right, 800-259-5791. I'm glad the mailbag is such a good way to, as Harry said, to let him do some research, and you never know what somebody's going to come up with. I'm glad that we got a letter from Lexington. I also got something here from Trey, and he just offhandedly, he didn't even, it was last week, he sent it to me. He didn't give me too many specifics. He said, Kate, next time Harry is on the show, ask him about collecting playing cards. Is that a big thing? I have thousands of packs. I'm just obsessed with it.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, there is a National Playing Card Society. And playing cards are kind of interesting. There are the deck collectors, largely people who collect playing cards made in the 20th century. Strangely enough, there are people who just collect aces or jacks or kings or queens and samples from a deck. That was very popular in the 30s and 40s. In fact, I've gone to auctions and seen whole scrapbooks of nothing but one card from a deck where they were collecting the covers of the cards as opposed to otherwise. When you're collecting decks, it's all about subdivisions within that. There's a lot of people who collect obsolete airline playing cards. Used to be a time when you used to be able to fly and you'd say to the person, stewardess or steward, of course, today they're flight attendants, so that's how old I am, but you would say to them, oh, I'm bored, you have a deck of cards, I want to play solitaire, I want to play among each other, and they give you a free deck of cards. So you have those. There are those who collect, like, for example, railroad cards. Casino cards are another popular subdivision. There were wonderful advertising decks. A lot of people, my uncle, who had a drugstore in Hellertown, Pennsylvania, had a deck of cards with his name on it. And so you have those type of things. Oftentimes, when you get it with the advertising cards, if they're local, they'll carry a local value beyond the value of the deck. There's also, back at the beginning of the 20th century, there were scenic cards by states, by railroad routes, and some of those can be worth a lot of money, too. Now, if you have playing cards from the 16th and 17th century, they're collected almost by the card. But, yeah, there's a lot of interest in playing cards, and as I said, there is a National Playing Card Society. There, if I remember correctly, it's really strong out around Chicago area that they seem to be in there. Although I know a very good friend of mine, David Galton in New York City, who is a major playing card collector.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting. I have a bunch of decks, but I don't collect them. I just play with them.
Right.
I use them
and most of the generic decks, you know, the ones with just ordinary designs are the old ace decks and the Monopoly and the pinochle decks and that type of thing aren't going to have much value except for their playability. It's really more the cover art. Of course, there now having been a child of the 50s, and of course, Kate, I only read about this in a book, but there were decks of cards that had other pictures on them. The kind of pictures you wouldn't show your children.
Of course, you only read about it in a book. Harry, our time is so fleeting. That was terrific. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Okay, kiddo, we will do that. Don't forget to get those letters in the mailbag. Harry L. Rinker at AOL.com. Please start it. I listen to America Tonight.
All right, awesome. We appreciate it. So much more always here on America Tonight.